than when everything falls apart. You got a God.
Amen.
You can put it back together. I've got a lot of good people in my life. I've got a good church. I've got a good family that God's given me. And when everything falls apart, I'm sure glad they're there. But I found that even those that love me most and even those that care about me the most fall short in putting back together the broken pieces. But I have found that the Lord knows how to, He knows how to mend everything right back up. In fact, I've found that God can take a life that is so broken and so much in despair that God's even able to take it, even though it is broken, and even though it might have some cracks in it, it can feel as good as it ever did. And I just believe that in the Lord. Philippians chapter number 3 tonight. I prayed much about what to preach. If Pastor Kevin's taught me anything, it's that you can preach anything and it'd be good and it helps some people, but I'd rather have a message. I'd rather have a message that God would deliver to someone, hopefully to everybody, that needs it. But I've also found this, that it doesn't matter if God's got a message or not. If you don't want to hear the message, it's not going to do you much good. And I feel liberty to say this, but I have no doubt there are some folks here who have no intention on hearing any message. I don't know if it's because it might just be because I'm not your style of preacher, and I wouldn't blame you. I don't even listen to my own preaching. I don't like it very much, nor my style. But it may be that you're just backward and indifferent on God. And really, when it comes down to it, it's never really the preacher, and it's never really the program. It's never really your indifference towards what the church is doing, or what decisions have been made, or who's here, who's not here, or who's hurt you, or who's offended you. It really makes no difference to God what's going on around you. Really, the problem usually is, if we don't want to hear the message, the problem is with us. Because the indifference that you have oftentimes can be overlooked and overshadowed by the message that God would preach to you. And in fact, I would say oftentimes the problems that you have right now in your heart, your indifference towards God, might be helped if you'd say, you know what, I've got a problem and I better get things straightened out. I've found myself oftentimes backward and just, and frequently I might say that, I've got to be honest with myself. You know what? It's not everybody else's problem. I got to, me and God aren't on the same tune. And look, everybody says, I want more of God, and I want to experience God, and I want something out of church today. But no, most people aren't willing to go on hot pursuit towards God to get what they need from God. We'll sing the congregational singing and nobody's in pursuit of God. We'll pray before the service and nobody's in pursuit of God. I mean, we'll sing the songs and Pastor Kevin will give a little bit of exhortation in the middle and he'll have to beg for amens because nobody's in pursuit of God. And I'd like to say, when's the last time you pursued God? Are you just still waiting on God to pursue you? Now, let me just go ahead and say this, that God at one point in time in your life went on a hot and a perilous journey to get to where you were at and pull you out of where you were at and save your wretched soul and give you a brand new life. In fact, I would say that everything that we've got here in this church, you may not have much, you might not have two pennies to rub together, but by God, He saved you and put you in this church, and you've got a family around you that loves you, you've got a God that loves you, you've got an opportunity to be a part of the ministry. If you choose to be, you are in a good place. And I'm ashamed sometimes when I'm waiting on God to pursue me when He's the one who should be pursued. Why would God want to pursue me? I'm glad that He does. But I have nothing to offer Him. There's not much that this brother here and this flesh that I live in has to offer God. And to the best of my ability, I try to give Him what I have. There's many times that I fail. But I have nothing that He should desire, but yet He pursues me. And yet, my pursuit of Him doesn't seem to match up. It doesn't seem to make sense in comparison and contrast with how He pursues me. And in Philippians chapter number 3, we're reading the writings of a man who, it appears, if you read the Pauline epistles, Brother Paul was very deeply concerned. I'm not saying he was a perfect man, but as far as we know, Paul was very concerned about pursuing God. And in his pursuit of God, he realized who he was, and he reached out to broken and lost people. He suffered for the ministry's sake to serve God, live for God, because he said in Romans, it's my reasonable service to offer my body a living sacrifice. But then he also realized that there are others out there who need the gospel, who need to be preached to. And I'm talking about Gentiles who were considered unworthy of the promise of God in his time. But yet God called him to go out to people that were alienated from God at one period of time. But yet God had decided are worthy to come in if they would place their faith in Christ. Paul loved God. And Paul pursued God. And it's evident in his writings. If you look, it says, and let's start in verse number 7. And these are verses we've all read, but I just want to give you a thought tonight. I think it'll help you. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That I may win Him, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, though not as though I had already attained. He's saying, I'm not there yet. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend. See, there's the pursuit. He says, something got a hold of me, and I'm trying to get a hold of the thing that got a hold of me. He said, I'm in pursuit of Him. I haven't attained Him yet. I'm not. See, we got some people sitting in the pews today. They think they've already attained all the goodness and graciousness and all that God has to offer. But yet Paul is saying, even though he was one of the most highly sought after preachers and he was a great Christian in the Bible, still yet getting close to his death as he pens this letter, he is still pursuing God. No, look, I'm just going to be honest. I probably will never meet the same level that Paul had in his Christian walk with God, but yet how come I pursue Him less than Paul did? Paul was in hot pursuit of God, even though he was much further along in his walk than I would ever be. When's the last time you actually chased after God? He said, if that I may apprehend, that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the message is on my heart tonight is I want more. I want more. I want more. Now, we got people in the church and people all over the world that say, I want more money. I want more influence. I want more prescription medication. I want more drugs. I want more vehicles. I want a bigger house. I want, I want, I want. And I'm finding that you say, well, Brother Eric, I don't believe that's the case in the church. If we wanted more of Him, why are we so quiet? And let me back it up a notch. Because I'm not preaching to those that are not faithful. I'm preaching to a faithful crowd. I hope so here at Lynn Independent Baptist Church. And so my heart is to those that are working for the Lord, that are grinding for the Lord, that are trying to serve God with all their heart, that are doing the things that we ought to do as Christians, the basics. Read your Bible. I mean, gave us a book, we should read our Bible. I mean, they're praying, they're seeking God. Did you pray for the service tonight? Were you expecting and reaching and searching for God tonight? I mean, those that go to church and say, hey, I know it's Wednesday night, and I know it might be uncomfortable, and it might not feel good to get up and get in the car and go Wednesday night, but I see value in gathering and fellowshipping with the Christians and fellowshipping with the brethren and the sisters. I see value in it, but not just because I get an emotion out of it, not just because it tickles my fancy, because the Bible in Hebrews said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And I value it because God said go. So thank God we got some people here that are faithful. And I pray we got some people that are not just faithful to church, but they're faithful in the other things. The praying, the reading your Bible, that you're not listening to naughty music, and you're doing all the things, right? And no doubt we got some of those people in here. Let me preach to you tonight that don't be content with just the basics. Because those that are cold and indifferent on God are not a very far cry from where you're at. If you stop wanting more from God. Brother Don, I want more than just a bus route. I want more than a Sunday school ministry. I want more than just an opportunity to preach. And I want more than to see my kids grow up and serve God. And I want more than my wife to say that she has a godly husband. Those are all good things. I want more than just to be a witness out at the job and be a witness out in the world. I want more than just to pass out tracts and go soul winning. I want more than just doing the basics of the routine. And I believe that there's some Christians in this church house who are giving their all for God. They're pursuing God in service. But are you pursuing God to know Him more? More than just what you do. More than the treasurer and more than the trustee and more than just doing the duties. Because if you do the duties and you never get more from God on a personal, experiential level, you will quit the ministry and in 2 years you'll be done. In fact, I would venture to say there's probably some folks in here right now that you got started in the ministry at Lynn Independent Baptist Church and you started off fired up and you loved the preaching. You loved it, you all into it. I love Lynn. This is the church for me. And all of a sudden you stop pursuing God. You stop wanting more from God than just doing the day in and the day out. And now you're thinking about quitting. Oh, let me warn you, dear saint. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not your spouse's fault. It's not the ministry's fault. Help us, God. It's not the sinners that come in from the church man's fault either. It ain't their fault. It's our fault. Because we have stopped pursuing God. Stop justifying the bad attitude. Stop justifying the indifference. Stop justifying the argument. In Philippians right here, he says to do everything without arguing and complaining. That's coming from a man who is in pursuit of God. He wasn't worried about all the ins and outs and what are we doing, how are we doing, and argue, complain, and bicker, and fight. He wasn't worried about all that. Why? He said, I want more of Him. I'm fascinated by people. They just love to argue. I'm one of them sometimes. That's my wife. Because we want more of it. We want more of the benefits that come in with winning an argument, being right, and with pride, and not with humility. See, we'd be humble and say, I'm going to humble myself because if that means I get more of Him, I'm willing to do that. When's the last time you hit this altar, saint? Yeah. When's the last time you hit the altar? The same people that we turn our nose up at ride this altar more than some of the saints in this building. You say, what are they doing? I don't know their heart, but I hope and I pray And my expectation is, and we're teaching them to, and begging them to, and preaching them to, is to be at the altar in pursuit of God. Why? Because we know that if they get more of Him, it doesn't matter who turns their nose, it doesn't matter who's upset that they're here, all that they need is to get more of God, and everything will be alright. They can get off the drugs and have joy. They can get off the alcohol and have peace. They can get their families back. They can get in church and have a life worth living again. How? If everybody accepts them, and everybody claps their hands for them, and if they just get into the service and drive the bus, and, no, if they get more Him. Forget driving the bus. Forget are you. Forget if you've left this altar behind, in no time, you're going to leave the other stuff behind. And then what will happen is you'll blame everybody else for what you left behind. You'll blame everybody else for the ministry you walked away from. And if anything, I'm just trying to warn you, because I am no better than those that have left and who have gone on before me. I know the vulnerability that is in my flesh. I know the times when I thought, why am I preaching? Why am I doing this? Why am I getting on the bus? Why am I serving? I know the times that I've done that, and if I look back, my wife said it. It's not everybody else's fault. It's my fault. Because I have lost the heart and the passion for God and what He wants, because I have stopped pursuing Him. When's the last time you shed a tear for God? You say, bro, why is he preaching this? Because I know I'm faithful and I go to church. That's the point. So what? So what? You can dry up and die at home just as good as you can dry up and die here. Amen. And I sure don't want to see it. But Ryan, I would hate to see you serving and giving your all, and then dry up on God and quit right in the middle of serving God. Amen. That would be more heartbreaking to me. It'd catch me more off guard. I'm preaching now because I thought, what am I going to preach to these people that are faithful, that are loving God, that are giving God their all? And I pray that you are. And if you're not, you should. Amen. Gave you His all, give Him yours. Well, so what does my all look like? I don't know. But you know if you're giving it. I'm not saying forsake your family. I'm not saying forsake your job. I'm not saying forsake all your hobbies. But in the name of God, I just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Don Murphy. And last time I checked, if I pray and ask God, God, give me the opportunities, the abilities to be able to do what you have me do, He'll take care of all the rest. But He just needs a willing heart, one that wants more Him. Now, beyond that, I'm preaching it to a faithful crowd, because the last thing that I know your pastor wants to see is for you to serve God with all your heart and lose sight of your first love. The one you felt, the one who got you to the pew in the first place. The one who got you to this church in the first place. The one who infatuated you so much in the first place, that got you to open your Bible when you never read it. That got you to pray when you never prayed. That got you to come to an altar when you never would have darkened one. That got you to cry tears when you were hard and wouldn't cry. That got you to testify when you would never talk in front of anybody else. I'm talking about getting some more of that God. Not some more of the God that you'll go out and you'll serve more and do more, but more of the God that compelled you, constrained you to do so, because you were so in love with Him, because you were experiencing Him in a deep way. We know that God's a perfect gentleman. We know in Revelation chapter number 3, it talks about the church of Laodicea, and it says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Not because He's never been in, because somehow He made His way out the door. And for some of us, Jesus has made His way out the door. He's standing outside the door knocking, and you're driving the bus, and you're doing RU, and you're going to church, and you're reading your Bible. But Jesus is saying, but let me in first. Amen. And so my heart's desire is that not that my family would serve God before they get more of God. See, Paul already knew things about him. Paul had already experienced God in so many ways, just like you and I have. Paul had experienced him in his salvation experience. He saw how God could take someone as messed up as Paul, a murderer, a persecutor of the church, how God could save him and put him in the ministry. He saw that. He saw God do miracles. He saw God do works. He saw God influence others and win people to Christ through His gospel ministry and through the ministry of others. He saw the gospel spread like wildfire throughout the world. But yet Paul is here in this story saying, I want more. I want more of Him. Since when did you become so content with all that God had done in your life? Have you truly experienced all that God wants? Have you had all that you care to have of God? Ooh, that's a question, isn't it? There's been times in my life where I may not say that with my lips, but my actions spoke louder than what my lips could say. That I just really don't care to have that much more of you, God. It's about more than the physical. See, he had experienced God on the physical, and Paul already knew some things about God and His omnipresence, and he knew things about the mystery of the rapture, and he knew things about the Bible and who God was and all the characteristics. And you do too. You know God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You know He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. You know He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. You know that He rose again on the third day. You know that He died on Calvary. You know that He's coming back again in the rapture. You know when the tribulation period is. You know when Noah's Ark happened. You know when Elijah brought fire down from heaven. You know when Moses smote the rock and water came forth from the rock. You know a lot of things about God, but do you know Him? Yeah, you can tell me all the Bible stories. You can tell me all kinds of things about God. But do you know Him other than that? I'm talking about right now. Do you know Him in loneliness? Do you know Him in your depression? Do you know Him in your pain? Do you know Him when you're rejected? Do you know Him when you're offended? Do you know Him when you're in times of despair? Do you know Him in times of struggle? Do you know Him when you don't know where to go? Do you know Him when you're confused? Do you know Him when you don't feel like you're enough? Do you know Him there? See, I want more of God. And where I need Him more and more now is not just to know. I don't need to know more Bible stories, Bud Don. I just need to know that He's there when I lose somebody that I love. I just need to know that He's there when my wife is struggling and my wife's going through depression and my wife's not well. I need to know Him more when my kids are struggling. I need to know Him more whenever I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I don't feel like I have 2 seconds to rub together. I need to know Him more when my family's lost. I need to know Him more when I don't know what to do. When I don't know where to go. When the Bible doesn't have the black and white answers, and I've got to come to this place here and find out what more He has for my life. See, some of us here, we don't need another Bible story or Sunday school lesson. I got some people in my Sunday school class, they don't need to know more about salvation and the study of it. They need to know more about God right here. Because they're going through things that they don't quite understand. And they're thinking things that they don't quite know how to decipher. And they need some help that the preacher can't give. And they need answers that they ain't finding in the Bible. I'm not saying they're not in there. I'm just saying sometimes God will take you out of the Scriptures and take you out of the church service where the preaching is and take you right into the prayer closet where He can fellowship with you and show you love like you've never had before. When's the last time you had that? Oh, saint, that'll get you further than any preaching message will do. That'll get you further than any Bible reading will do. That'll get you further than any gospel song will do. That'll get you further than anything this world has to offer. If you go and pursue Him more and find His love in that place. See, some of us are tormented. In the Bible, the preacher was talking about it, he's preached on it, that perfect love casts out fear. That where love is, fear can't be. And that with fear, there's torments. And there's some people in here tonight So you're in torment. Mentally, physically, emotionally tormented. It has hampered your worship. It has hampered your faithfulness to God. It has hampered your relationships with your friends. It has hampered your relationships with those in the church. It's hampered your service in the ministry. Yeah, you're doing the ministry, but there's no power in it because there's no passion in it, and there's no there's no love, like 1 Corinthians 13 says. Because you have yet to get more of His love. You have yet to experience Him in a deeper, more meaningful way than you did years ago, months ago, weeks ago. You know, think, just take a second here and we'll close. Em, if you want to come. Just close your eyes for a minute. Some of y'all is already sleeping anyway. So just keep your eyes shut. Or maybe open your eyes. But just close your eyes. And I want you to envision the very last place that you were in when you were overwhelmed with the love and the goodness of God in your life. I want you to imagine what it smelled like. I want you to imagine what it felt like. I want you to imagine what you heard, the preaching. Put yourself in that place. And I want you to think about the days that followed and how beautiful they were and how passionate you were and how driven you were, how motivated you were, how excited you were to have experienced something intimate and personal with God. Do you remember that place? Do you remember where you were at? I didn't ask you when the last time you read your Bible. I didn't ask you the last time you came to church. I asked you the last time that you experienced God in a deep and meaningful way that transformed your life. And I would just venture to say that it is that time that your heart deeply, earnestly yearns for. Open your eyes. We have access to a God who wants access to us. And all we have to do is to be like Brother Paul and say, you know what? That I may know Him. I count all things loss. That I may know Him. That I may experience Him. That I could have more. But He wants you to say, I want more. I want to go back. Not to experience the same thing, but to come get a new thing from God. There's some of us in here, how much further can you go without Him? Without something fresh, without something new? When will we be saying our goodbyes? When will you say goodbye to Lyndon, goodbye to ministry, goodbye to this life to go pursue something else when all you had to do was pursue Him? It's up to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and thank You. God, I pray, Lord, You'd use the message. I'm just a messenger, and touch the hearts of Your people in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.